Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of the listeners, you out there in the listening audience. So this is Open Line Wednesday, and if you'd like to give us a call, the number is 1-888, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, give us a call. But I thought maybe we'd start talking about what's happening to the economy. You know, we've been warning for years that we were going to be heading into very, very difficult times. Those difficult times are here. In fact, just a few days ago, the government announced that the wholesale price index for something like 1.1%. So basically, prices had gone up 1.1%. Whereas if you annualize that, you're talking over 13% inflation. And that's just exactly where we are. We are over 13% inflation now. They're not admitting that. Oh, no, we have a little inflation. Well, they can't admit the truth, because then they'd have to put out literally hundreds of billions of dollars that they don't have in additional payments to Social Security, people who get Social Security, because their Social Security payments are indexed to inflation. They'd have to put out hundreds of billions of dollars for people who bought their treasury bonds that are indexed to inflation. So they'd rather lie and cheat the elderly and cheat the people who bought the treasury-related bonds rather than tell the truth. And they have all sorts of means of lying about the degree of inflation. They can say, well, you know, it's the old saying, figures don't lie, but liars can figure. And if you want to hold your job and you have orders from above, and you work for the government, you better lie. And this, unfortunately, is what's happening. We have over 13% inflation now and rising. And it's going to get a lot worse, because this is what always happens with the fiat money system. We could have corrected things in the past. Today, it's too late to correct them. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You see, what the Federal Reserve System and Ben Bernanke are doing is flooding the country with money. The MZM money is over 35%. MZM money is 35%. That means money that's immediately available. The M3 is up over 17%. And that, of course, is why the government doesn't want to print it anymore. They don't want you to know what they're doing. But the MZM figure, which is the readily available money, up 37%, 35%, 37%, is going to have disastrous consequences. So how is the Federal Reserve System fighting the inflation? Why, they're doing everything they can to promote it. They're lowering interest rates. They're making money much more available. And, of course, that just feeds the fires of inflation, and things get worse. What they should do is raise interest rates and simply cut off all the money. If they cut off the money, why, they might be able to save the dollar. But they're not going to try to save the dollar. They're intent upon destroying it. And with that, the savings, certainly the pension funds, the insurance policies of the American people, anything indexed to money is going to be destroyed. And so we're in one of the most difficult times of your life, and it's only going to get a lot worse. And there's the question whether we'll ever turn around before the value of our currency is totally destroyed, as it has been in Zimbabwe, where the government that was installed by your State Department and Henry Kissinger, now the government admits 100,000% inflation a year. Other observers say, no, it's really closer to 150,000% a year inflation. They've raised the tax rate up there to 47%. Why? Because, of course, they are not getting enough money back in taxes. The money is losing value so rapidly. It loses from morning till noon. and money can lose almost all of its value just in a very, very few hours. Well, here in the United States, since last fall, eight of our most large, of our mid-sized chains have filed for bankruptcy or going out of business. Levitt's Furniture and the electronic sellers Sharper Image have filed for bankruptcy. And then there's something called Linens and Things. They're closing down their stores. Foot Locker is closing 140 stores. Ann Taylor, 117 stores. Zales Jewelry, 100 stores. Of course, Zales has been around for a long time and, of course, been selling jewelry, but they're closing large numbers of their stores. Some are filing for bankruptcy. Fortunoff, Harvey Electronics, Lillian Vernon, Bombay, stores turned into a disaster. They're being closed down, and they're scaling back at JCPenney's and Lowe's and Office Depot, and of course, there will be 5,770 stores will probably close this year, up from the 4,603 stores that closed last year. And, of course, as that happens, why, of course, people lose their jobs, and of course, it drives prices down. If you want to stay in business, you've got to have lower prices, and we're beginning to see the cascading effects of what happens when you have a fiat money system and you've lived in great prosperity based upon simply cheap money and the devaluation of the American dollar. And, of course, now increasingly other countries are turning away from the American dollar. They're trying to find some place to put their money. We still have to borrow over $2.5 billion every single day to pay our bills. And then, of course, we're able to pay the interest. The interest on Treasury bills is very, very low now. But what happens if they turn things around and they begin to raise interest rates? That means they're going to have to put out billions more. We're already putting out over $400 billion a year just paying interest on our debt, and as the interest rates rise, which they will sooner or later, if there's any monetary system left, why, of course, at that time then, of course, we could very well soon be paying more money in interest than we do for everything else in our economy. And that would mean we'd have to do away with our military, we'd have to do away with our welfare schemes and all of our giveaway schemes and our subsidization for agriculture. These things always happen when, of course, people, when nations... Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's Open Line Wednesday, and we would like to know what you were thinking, the things that you would like to talk about. Paul Volcker recently had actually talked about what's happening, and he said America is on the edge of an abyss. Now, Paul Volcker, whether you like him or not, is a very, very brilliant individual, and back in 2005, he tried to warn the American people what lay ahead as far as our economy is concerned. And certainly if you go back and read what Paul Volcker said in an article that appeared in the Washington Post in 2005, he tried to explain that you cannot do what we're doing indefinitely. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But let me take you back to April of 2005, just about 2 years ago, and this is what Paul Volcker wrote. Under the placid surface, there are disturbing trends, huge imbalances, disequilibria risks. Call them what you will. Altogether, the circumstances seem to me as dangerous and intractable as any I can remember, and I can remember quite a lot. What really concerns me is that there seems to be so little willingness or capacity to do much about it. Personal savings in the United States have practically disappeared. To be sure, businesses have begun to rebuild their financial reserves, but in the space of a few years, the federal deficit has come to offset the source of national savings. What holds it all together is a massive and growing flow of capital from abroad, running to more than $2 billion every working day and growing. More recently, why we've become more dependent on foreign central banks, particularly in China and Japan and elsewhere in East Asia. The difficulty is that this seemingly comfortable pattern can't go on indefinitely. I don't know if any country that has managed to consume and invest 6% more than it produces for long. The United States is absorbing about 80% of the net flow of international capital, and at some point, both central banks and private institutions will have their fill of dollars. I don't know whether change will come with a bang or with a whimper, sooner or later. But as things stand, it's more likely than not that it will be a financial crisis or financial crises rather than policy foresight that will force the change. A wise observer of the economic scene once commented that what can be left to later usually is, and then alas, it's too late. I don't want to let that stand as an epitaph of what has been an unparalleled period of success for the American economy and of the enormous potential for the world at large. But, unfortunately, why we are moving into catastrophe. And that basically is where we're headed today. We've got Michael calling from Ireland, of all places. Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Do you listen to us regularly over there?
Pardon?
Do you listen to our program over there regularly?
I haven't for a good long time.
Okay.
I really was curious of what you thought in light of what's been happening the last few months, which have been really quite significant. The steep fall in the dollar and a few other things. I have a few questions. I don't know how many I can ask. But,
all right, go ahead. What are your questions?
Ask strategically the most relevant ones.
All right, fine. Go ahead. Go ahead and ask him.
Okay. First of all, I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous at all.
In view of the declining dollar and Bear Stearns and Perry Bar and Northern Rock and what have you, is there a danger? How big a danger is that in having money in the bank? How big a danger do you think is there in losing the money like happened in the 30s, closing banks?
Well, I'm not so worried about, of course, closing the banks, although they may, but I would be more worried about the destruction of the value of your savings, because the value of savings is going down progressively. I don't know what's happening to the Irish currency, but I think that all currencies in the world are in danger because they're all fiat money systems. None of the currencies, whether it be Irish or English or American, are backed by dollars. Pardon me, are backed by anything of inherent value. So certainly I think that all countries are racing really to see who can be destroyed first. All of the policies are bad, and some are just worse than others. But I think the best thing you could do would be get your money out of the bank and get it into things of inherent value. And right now I would not be buying land because I know that, Chris, you've had a run-up of the price of land and other things, houses over there in Ireland. I would try to get into gold and silver or gold and silver-related assets because they are only things of real intrinsic value. In fact, if you go back and read what Alan Greenspan said back in 1965, in an article he wrote, he said, in the absence of the gold standard, there's no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. And so if you have money in the bank, I would suggest you get it out and get it into something else. Remember, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon, but I am sort of an amateur historian. I've been studying things for 45 years, 46 years now, and I think that the whole world monetary system is on the edge of an abyss.
I don't want to talk too much about my own self, but I've already done a lot of what you said there.
I'm glad you have.
I was thinking about having certain liquidity, and an economist friend of mine in America who seems to be very anti-Keynesian and against the system, against the money, and his analysis seems to be quite sound, I think. But let's see. There's also another question. Have you heard of sovereign wealth funds?
Yes, I have, and certainly those are being put together by countries throughout the world who are holding lots of dollars. They want to do something with those dollars before they lose their value, so they're investing them in this country or in other countries, and they hold probably about $2 trillion somewhere in there at sovereign wealth funds, $2 to $3 trillion, and they're beginning to buy things up all over the... and bonds...
I heard sovereign wealth funds could be extremely dangerous because they can strategically buy certain, like the ports, and they could be very, very dangerous, and they're not transparent. They're less transparent than other investors. They can just it's almost like an organized system of economic espionage.
Yeah, absolutely. But, of course, if they've got the money, they should have the right to buy things with it. Otherwise, well, we've cheated them. We've bought their products, we paid them in dollars, and then we tell them they can't cash in their dollars. The sovereign wealth funds are going to change the complexion of the economy. They're going to come in and buy up large parts of various corporations all throughout the world. And they're going to transfer control to China, to Japan, and to the Arab countries, because they're the largest holders of these of the American dollars throughout the world. And believe me, they are doing it. They're here in the United States. The Chinese have bought into Blackstone. They bought into, I believe, J.P. Morgan Chase, at least one of our large banks. The only good thing I can say is since they bought in, right, they've lost a great deal of value. But these people are not foolish. They want to do something with their dollars, and they're going to change the economic structure of the world. $3 trillion will buy an awful lot of America and of Ireland as well. Anything else? We've got a full board, Michael. Anything else you'd like to ask?
How soon do you think the decline? I mean, it is decline now, but it seems like things have accelerated in the last few months. What do you consider the prognosis for the next 2 or 3 years, or the next year, the next few months?
I would say that probably by the end of this year or by the middle of next year, we're going to be in a severe depression here in the United States. An awful lot of people are going to be out of work. And, of course, as things go in America, they're going to influence what happens in the rest of the world, whether it be in Ireland or England or Europe or the Orient. I really believe that, especially if we get into a war with Iran, everything looks like this is what the administration is planning to do to take our attention off what's happening here. You know, a war is a great diversion, and we'll be rallying behind the government, you know, patriotically as they send our boys off to fight in another futile war. But that will detract attention from the fact that we are losing our freedom, we're losing our wealth here at home. Their plan is to impoverish the American people and I really believe to transfer the manufacturing of the world to China and Japan and perhaps the economic leadership of the world to Europe. But that's the way things seem to be going.
And you don't think the depression would be worldwide?
Oh, yes, it will be worldwide.
Well, if there's going to be a depression, it seems like there could be very well a run on banks.
No, I think there could very well be. But whether they're really going to close down and whether, of course, the government will step in and nationalize banks. Because, of course, when people lose total confidence in the banking system, the whole system begins to collapse.
Well, my economist friend told me something, the equivalent of treasury bills would be a good hedge against a run on the
banks. Well, it may be a good hedge on the run on the banks, but of course it's guaranteed confiscation. Ludwig von Mises was probably one of the most brilliant of all economists, and he had lived through the inflationary period under Adolf Hitler and that preceded Adolf Hitler in Germany. He said that bonds are certificates of guaranteed confiscation. Get out of anything tied to the dollar or to monetary increments. Get into something that's solid in the way of gold and silver. I'm going to have to get you go, Michael, but I would not listen to what your friend says, because if he thinks that Treasury bonds, where they're paying 1% to 3%, are a good investment when you've got 13% inflation, he's not a very good mathematician.
Well, he knows all. He's just thinking about preserving principle. Treasury bills or equivalents of that?
No, inflation destroys the value of treasury bills.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
You're getting
3%. Maybe sometime I'd like to talk privately to you.
Give me a call off the air, Michael. I'll be glad to talk to you, okay?
Okay.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan here. We've got Steve calling from Illinois. Hi, Steve. Thanks for hanging on there. How are you doing?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I'm doing fine, thank you. I see in the paper here, this Sunday paper we get, they had an income tax designed to tax the very rich. Well, it started in 1894. Congress passed the Revenue Act of 1894. And, you know, I think we have a $3-point-some trillion outlay budget scheduled this year. And it shows income of the total tax collected on individual income tax is $5 trillion, but it brings in $1 trillion of tax, or roughly $10,000 per 1040 form. Now the next big income is $900 billion for Social Security taxes, and the next big one, and the last one, and lastly, is like tariffs to create. It comes to about 2.4 that we bring in income. Well, that's that falls way short of what the outlays are. But what is interesting to me, the second highest tier is Social Security taxes they're using to pay the outgo of the budget.
Sure, because they're simply lying to the American people when they tell them that the Social Security.
Well, they're not lying anymore. They should put it in black and white. Yeah, and you know, if they're spending it like that, Dr. Stan. Nobody's going to have Social Security, so how on earth are they going to let us live, people that, we'll say on the dole, but that they paid in their thing, and just come and want money, and which is rightfully theirs. I don't think they're going, I don't know if they're going to bomb us or what, but they don't need this many hungry people because they're already relying on that just for the, it's scary, I guess is my point.
Well, let me tell you, Steve, that there is a population control agenda. For instance, they know, of course, that tobacco kills people. I mean, it not only produces cancer in the lung, but cancer in the certainly the cancer esophagus and the mouth and the pancreas and the bladder. They know all of these things. And so what are we doing? We're subsidizing tobacco production. Why would you do that? Well, yeah. if you could say they're stupid, or you could say maybe they want people to die. And
right.
Not only that, but of course we're actually exporting our tobacco all over the world, knowing full well it's going to kill people. As we pointed out in the past, the incidence of cancer at the beginning of the last century was 1 in 33. Today it's 1 in 2. And government says, oh, shucks, we have no idea why this is happening. Of course they know why it's happening. They know the relationship between milk consumption and increasing breast and prostate cancer, but they're not telling the people. They outlawed DDT, not because it was harmful to people or even to the environment, but because it was saving so many lives from malaria.
Sure.
And we could go right down the line of the things that they've done, creating new diseases, terrible diseases. We're killing off countless millions of people, but we cannot let the American people understand that the major thrust of American foreign policy and domestic policy is population control.
You bet. And no other country would have ever been allowed, like China, to send in poisonous items into this country. We would have cut them right off. And one last quick thing, I just wonder if people realize that all the advertisement and commercials that you see on TV are all socialized people. The U.S. taxpayer, it's all written off as a business expense, and we're paying every minute of that, which is just absolutely outrageous, the amount of money that goes per minute that the American taxpayer has to pay. And this is just a sad state of affairs and a sad commentary in this world. And I'm kind of scared, but Dr. Stan, you keep me hopeful, and I love your program, and thank you very much.
God bless, and keep your eyes on the Lord. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's, of course, the call if you want to order something. If you'd like to talk to me here on Open Line Wednesday, it's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and we've got Tony calling from Soquel. Hi, Tony.
Well, you haven't said that for a while.
Oh, well, are you in Soquel now? I thought you were up in Washington.
Well, I'm down for a business trip.
Good to have you here.
And, you know, I always try and call when I get down.
All right, fine. Speak up now just a little louder.
Okay. Well, I always try and call when I come down for business trips.
Fine. Well, we always enjoy hearing from you. Tony's an old friend. He did live in Soquel for many years. But anyway, did you have a question or comment?
Well, I had a couple, but if you got a full board, I mean, I'll keep it short.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about the Paul Volcker about how back in the 70s I used to hate his guts. And, like, now that I'm older and I've lived through it, I really have a lot of respect for the man.
Well, I think, Tony, that you have to understand that Volcker is one of the elite people who are destroying our economy. But when he was the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, why he did what was right, and that was in 1979 and 1980, when he raised the interest rate, you know, I think pretty close to 20-21%. But he saved the dollar at that time.
Well, he did, but everyone was out of work. I mean, I was a younger fellow then. I had a lot of friends who were roofers and carpenters, and we didn't know anybody who had a job.
Right. Well, I think it's going to be the same way again very, very soon.
Well, and back then, houses were, you know, under $100,000, and, you know, things, you know, were quite a bit different. I mean, I think he delayed the things for 25, 30 years.
I think you're absolutely right.
And I mean, if we had 22% interest rates now to try and save the dollar, I really don't think that this economy or the people in this country would survive it very well.
Well, I think, Tony, what you have to understand is that we're in a situation now where we actually, of course, have, inflation, rapid inflation, and yet, of course, we've got the economy turned down. Ordinarily, of course, while you get inflation when the economy is thriving, our economy is collapsing, and still we have inflation. That is the worst of all worlds, and whatever the Federal Reserve System does will only make the matters worse.
Well, did you hear what Alan Greenspan said in his speech to the Arab ministers? I think it was Jakarta, or I forget.
Well, is this where he told them they should break their peg with the American dollar?
Yeah, and then quit importing our inflation.
He's absolutely right, of course. But Alan Greenspan knows, I believe, knows exactly what he's doing. He is doing, has done everything, and he is doing everything to collapse our economy. I don't know if you've read my newsletters where I analyze this, and it summarized a little pamphlet called Financial Meltdown. But this could either be the best thing or the worst thing that ever happened to America, Tony, because the thing is that if we were simply to go on as we were, we would end up in a dictatorship. This way, there's going to be a collapse, and really they'll come out in a dictatorship, or we'll come out as free people. And the question will be, do we have enough people who understand what's going on and understand the spiritual implications of what's going on, that we can take America back from the wicked people who control it today? And those, of course, is the financial elite within the Council on Foreign Relations. I'm specifically talking about the people, the Rockefellers, the people who control Lehman, the people who control, you know, Goldman Sachs. And interestingly enough, a lot of these people are not Jewish at all, contrary to everything that's being done to convince us a Jewish conspiracy. There is a satanic conspiracy, as you well know. The only question is, not is there going to be a crisis, but what will happen at the end of the crisis? We're going to have a number of years of terrible, terrible times, and probably a period where we'll have a very contracted economy. The question is, will America survive as a free nation, or will we simply be absorbed into the one world order with a one world religion, and of course the new coming one world leader? That is the question we face today, and until less people understand the hidden dangers of the rainbow, unless they get our information from Constance Cumby and her DVD on the emergence, and the emergence, of course, is the new coming world leader, the Antichrist. We don't know whether this is the time that God foretold, or whether simply that we're going to have another chance. But we're going to be fascinating times we live in. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, I had one question I wanted to ask you specifically about, and that was, is if you have heard anything about the elections in Zimbabwe, and what is all that about?
All right, fine.
And then second of all, and I'm going to hang up, and I'll listen on the air. My other question is that I've been noticing that there are 8-9 countries now in the world that are having food riots.
Right.
And it's not really being reported.
All right, fine. We'll address that. We're going to have to let you go. Our telephone number, 1-888.
Maybe you can comment on that.
24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Tony was simply commenting that there are food riots throughout the world, and there really are some very, very real problems as far as food throughout the world is concerned. What's happened is that throughout the world, the price of food has gone up about 83% during the last 3 years, as we've exported our inflation throughout the world. And so in many of these countries where the salaries have not gone up, the people just don't have enough money to buy food. In Egypt, for instance, where they have subsidized bread, they can't, of course, make the bread fast enough for all the people who are poor, who do not have the money to buy food elsewhere. And so they have their food riots. People are standing in line for hours, sometimes half a day, just to get a few loaves of bread. And these people begin unruly, and they begin to riot. There are a number of countries where there have been riots, and certainly the price of rice has gone up and wheat has gone up, and all the various staples are simply going right through the roof. And then, of course, secondly, there are growing shortages throughout the world. First of all, there are more people who need to be fed, and then, of course, we're having real problems, and I think some of these are actually created by altering the weather, because the government has the ability to alter the weather. I just talked to my friend Jerry Smith, who wrote the book Weather Modification. Incidentally, we carry that book, Weather Modification, and we have a 4-tape set on weather modification. We have a DVD on weather modification, but Jerry Smith was telling me that he can't get his book on weather modification distributed, that Barnes & Nobles and some of the other chains tell people who come in and ask for the book, it's out of print, it's not available. He can't get the book distributed. Why? Because, of course, the wicked people working behind the scenes, who I believe are creating many of the droughts and the problems that are leading, of course, to destruction of the food supplies, don't want people to understand that they, and I'm speaking they, are the invisible government, are modifying the weather because they're going to bring about worldwide famine. I really believe that they have that intention. I believe that they want to go ahead and fulfill the prophecies from Revelation 6:8. Where I look and behold a pale horse, and the rider upon him was death, and power was given unto him to kill a quarter of the population of the world by the sword, by hunger, by pestilence, which is disease, and then by the beasts of this world. And you have to understand that we're in real trouble as far as food is concerned. We only have a 40-day supply of food in America, and I'm encouraging people to lay in a supply of food. And don't put it off. Do it now. And then we'll be back here in just a moment to talk about what happened as far as Zimbabwe was concerned. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Russell up there in Spokane. We're going to be talking to Russell in just a moment. But before I do, I want to give our telephone number, which is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call. But, of course, Tony was asking what's happening in Zimbabwe. Now, that's the old Rhodesia, and, of course, when I lived in Africa in the mid-1970s, it took two American dollars to buy one Rhodesian dollar. Today, it takes, about 5 million Rhodesian dollars will buy about 14 American dollars. It costs you over $3 million for a cold drink over there, $150 million for a Big Mac. There's no food. There's no medical supplies. And remember, this is the government that the United States installed. Well, they held elections about 2 weeks ago. And, of course, Robert Mugabe, who is a lifelong communist, the communists that we installed there, and you have to understand, we were installing communist governments throughout the world. And the government we installed with a promise to the Zimbabwean or Rhodesian people that if things ever got out of hand, we'd come and rescue them. Well, of course, Mugabe refuses to leave office. They've rigged the vote. The High Court refuses to demand that the results of the election be released. They're simply rigging the votes. Everybody who works in the election system is frightened to death that if they tell and announce publicly that Robert Mugabe's government was defeated, that they will be tortured to death along with their families. This is the sort of man that the United States State Department installed in Zimbabwe, And so far, of course, the election results have not been released. But everybody in Zimbabwe, everybody in Africa knows that Mugabe was voted out of office. But, of course, this is the man America put in. America's been subsidizing him as he's brought this terrible tragedy to Zimbabwe. And I don't know whether this is sort of a trial to see, you know, how a system like this would work here in America. Who knows? All I can tell you is that the United States State Department forced him, Robert Mugabe, a Marxist thug, onto the people of Rhodesia. And, of course, their mistake was in believing Henry Kissinger and America's promise that we would come to their aid. And men and women become accomplices of the evils they fail to oppose. And the fact that there are not demonstrations all across America in favor of freedom for Zimbabwe, you know, it simply is a reflection of the apathy and the indifference and the coldness of the hearts of the American people. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And right now we've got Russell up in Spokane, Washington, who's been waiting patiently. Hi, Russell. Did you have a question or comment?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Yes, I wanted to know if you knew what the financial condition of Charles Schwab was.
No, I can't hazard anything on that. I really don't know.
You don't know, yeah. Bear Stearns went down, and I just wanted to find out something about Schwab.
I really can't tell you, Chris. Bear Stearns was an investment bank. Schwab is really a stockbroker that has special discounts as far as investing is concerned. And certainly when, you know, you put your money into Schwab, I suppose that they bought the stock for you and they're holding it for you. They will actually give you the stock shares if you request them. I think they're probably as solvent as the stock market is, but I will tell you the stock market is not very solvent. We're going to have, I believe, eventually a crash of the stock market. Why? Because the corporate earnings are down. Certainly General Electric, which has traditionally been the best stock you could hold. And I know when my former mother-in-law died, she left my son and daughter with a good deal of General Electric stock, and that's gone up year after year after year. It hasn't been done too well this last 6 years or so as far as increasing the value of the stock, but it's certainly been paying out a good dividend. And now, of course, they've just announced that their earnings for this year are down significantly. And a lot of the earnings for our major corporations are down. And, of course, as those earnings reports come in, of course, the only thing that's really keeping up our stock market today is the Working Group on Financial Matters, our markets, Working Group on Financial Markets, which is a sort of a shadowy organization. It works out of the Federal Reserve, the Treasury Department, and a couple of international banks and stockbrokers, and they simply manipulate the market, and they've been keeping the market up artificially. At least the Dow Jones is concerned, but throughout the rest of the world, you look and see what's happening in Europe, their markets are dropping, and certainly the Chinese stock market is dropping, the Indian stock market is dropping, and our stock market would be dropping if it weren't being manipulated. It's a matter of perception. They're playing games with our minds because they fully know that if they can keep the market up, most people will be happy. If the market begins to drop, they'll be able to begin to produce depression among the people. The people will react. They'll be more panicky. They'll be willing to start selling things off. I think the day will come when the market will collapse, but right now they're holding it up artificially. And certainly Charles Schwab is nothing but really a glorified stockbroker. It's not an investment banker.
Okay. Well, what do you think of mining stocks and commodity stocks?
Well, I think that right now, of course, they've artificially kept the mining stocks down. And the silver and the gold stocks have not gone up anywhere as near as much as they should have with the rising prices of gold and silver. I think down the line they will probably go up, but remember they too can be manipulated as far as commodity stocks. The question is if the economy of the world begins to contract, will there be the demand for the copper and the nickel and the zinc and those other things which are used for production. Certainly, China is coming online. People over there have enough money now to buy cars. Admittedly, they may be small cars, but you're looking at a country with 1.25 to 1.3 billion people. And a significant number of those people are wanting to get a little house someplace. You have to have copper to put the electricity in. And China, of course, with the help of the United States, is building nuclear power plants. Actually, the United States guaranteed some $5 billion in loans so China could build their first five nuclear power plants. Of course, they're not going to build them. They're going to be built by Westinghouse, which is as American as apple pie. The only trouble is it's owned by Japan at the present time. It's no longer an American corporation. But be that as it may, the American taxpayers are guaranteeing the loan which China is taking out to build up their nuclear plants over there. And, of course, they're going to try to electrify their country. But right now they're even frightened because they can see the handwriting on the wall. Their prosperity is coming from shipping massive amounts of goods to the United States and Europe. And in both the United States and Europe, people are not buying as they have in the past. And certainly they're having runaway inflation in China. I don't know what's going to happen to commodity stocks. I know that Jimmy Rogers, who's a lot smarter than I am, he used to work with George Soros, says that commodities are a great place to invest. And he's talking about the commodity metals, the traditional non-precious metals. I would say that probably they're better than nothing. The stocks, many of them are really pretty far down right now, but I would probably get the majority of my money out of the stock market. You'll be a lot safer, and you'll sleep a lot safer that way. But get it into something that will not be destroyed by the ravages of inflation, which are growing rapidly in America. And these reports that have come out within the last few days suggest we're moving towards 12 or 13% inflation a year. And the government's conceding that. Whereas, of course, we've been having 12 or 13%, at least 12% inflation for almost a year. Do you have anything else there you wanted to ask Russell?
Well, no, I guess not. You have quite a bit of information there. Thank you.
Now, the thing is, you've got to protect yourself. You've got to look after your assets and understand in times like these, most people are going to lose everything they've spent their whole life working for. And we had this caller earlier from Ireland saying that his economic advisor, his friend, was telling him to buy treasury bonds. Why would anybody want to buy treasury bonds that are paying somewhere between 1.5% and 3% when you got an inflation rate of 12 to 13%? They're certificates of guaranteed confiscation. They're not a good place to park your money. Now, where can you get anything that is secure? I think what Alan Greenspan answered that many years ago when he said, in the absence of a gold standard, there's no way to be able to protect yourself and your savings from the ravages of inflation. Alan Greenspan understands, and he has produced a situation today where, whether intentionally or non-intentionally, why, of course, the value of most people's holdings are going to be destroyed. But I can guarantee you that Alan Greenspan is investing in gold. I haven't seen that anyplace, but he knows exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what was going to happen when he did what he did and allowed this bubble to burst. Anything else, Russell?
No, that's it. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number out there is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think it's so vitally important that people understand that we are, of course, going from bad to worse, and the news every week gets worse. Certainly, purchase of Bear Stearns. Why should the Federal Reserve System have given a $30 billion loan to Bear Stearns, which is being bought up by J.P. Morgan Chase? The $30 billion is guaranteed by what's known as toxic paper. Basically, it's these collateralized debt obligations and the asset-backed securities and the structured investment vehicles that are probably worth 30 or 40 or at the most 50 cents on the dollar. Why would any rational person want to lend money to a financial institution that, of course, did not have assets to back it up? And, of course, the reason is because if Bear Stearns had gone down, why, of course, that could begin to collapse the whole derivative house of cards. What is the derivative house of cards? Well, it is somewhere between $500 and $700 trillion worth of credit swaps. They call these credit swaps, credit derivative swaps. It is these gambles, basically, these insurance policies that people who have been selling bonds, whether it be government bonds, whether it be corporate bonds, or whether it be these collateralized debt obligations made up of housing mortgages or student loans or automobile loans, that the people who had actually bought the bonds would be paid the interest that was due them. That's what the derivatives are. But, of course, what's happened is they've come up with all sorts of complicated derivatives, and there was a wonderful way to make money when the market was good. And you were assured that the corporations were going to make payments on their bonds, that municipalities were going to make payments on their bonds, that the homeowners were going to make payments on their mortgages. But when you get into an economic contraction, as we're in, and a lot of the municipalities don't have the money. In fact, there was a place, I believe it was someplace in Florida recently, where, of course, a county was facing bankruptcy. And I think we're going to find this increasingly. In fact, the Jefferson County, actually it was Alabama, won an agreement with banks led by J.P. Morgan Chase to delay a $53 million bond payment that was due on Tuesday as a state bid to keep it out of bankruptcy was delayed. And so basically, many, many of our municipalities are not getting enough money in to pay salaries to their employees or to pay on their bonds. And if you have a choice between one or two, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to pay their employees, because if they don't, their employees will be mad at them. And then, of course, they're not going to make payments on the bonds. And then that precipitates the derivative payment, and the insurance company is supposed to pay then, make the payment that the bond owner should have paid. But what happens, of course, if the insurance company doesn't have any money? And that is increasingly what's happening. Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Florence, Oregon. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Fine, Dr. Stan. How are you doing
today? I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Great. Dr. Stan, I wanted to ask you, you may not be well-versed in detail on economic matters, but you certainly at least have the basics down. I think you probably see the whole picture as it currently stands relative to specifically, I wanted to ask about the aspect of the precious metals market.
All right, what would you like to ask?
And well,
remember, I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon. My PhD, I do not have a PhD in economics. I have an MD in orthopedic surgery.
I fully understand that, sir, but I respect your knowledge. When it comes to the actual repression on the part of the Federal Reserve of the gold and the silver market, what is their desired result here in repressing the markets? They're making such a strong effort to do this.
I think it is a matter of perception. And just as we commented earlier, that they're holding the stock market up when it should be really plunging because, of course, of corporate earnings and many other things, because they don't want us to be, to have an emotional response to a falling market.
They don't want to panic.
They don't want to panic. I think that they're keeping the price of gold and silver down because they know when it starts to skyrocket, everybody's going to be rushing into the market, and there simply is no gold and silver out there. I mean, they're actually, International Monetary Fund is selling its gold. And why is it selling gold? To drive the price down. But, of course, they're going to sell something like, 150 tons of gold. Do you have any idea who has enough money to buy 150 tons of gold?
Only the ones who are actually repressing the market.
Absolutely.
To keep the price low,
yeah.
So they can buy more gold?
Well, basically so they can keep the price down. And, of course, the IMF gold came predominantly from the United States. So our gold is simply we gave it to the IMF to establish that bank. And now that gold is being sold, but who's buying it up? Well, we do know that in the past, the Rockefeller's been buying up a great deal of gold overseas. In fact, Dr. Dennis Cuddy told me the story that, of course, a large amount of American gold was moved to Europe and was bought up, but it was bought up by the Rockefellers who were moving over there, accumulating gold. And when one of their employees made a public statement admitting what had happened, why, she suddenly died. A mysterious death, as so often happens. I think the real objective of everything that's going on today is down the line to have a global currency that will be privately issued and backed by gold. And people by that time, of course, will understand the fallacy of a fiat money system, and they will, of course, be quite willing, of course, to accept this currency as long as it's gold-backed and privately issued, because it's issued by government, and, of course, it will always eventually be destroyed, because politicians are irresponsible. They get their money, they get their goodies, they get their benefits, and they really don't care about the people out there. They've been stealing money from the Social Security system, you know, for probably, well, since LBJ's time. They've been stealing money from the Medicare system. They've been stealing money from the highway fund. They have all these funds. They simply steal the money out of it so that they can, you know, get special earmarks for their community. Because people will be happy when the people in their community get all this money and they get reelected.
Well, they're constantly finding different ways that they're incorporating on a larger scale all the time for that great transfer of wealth. It's happening in different little facets, and when the actual depression comes, I imagine it'll be the largest part of it.
And actually, the depression is not that far away. I think it's only
a matter of
perhaps months, at least, probably no more than a year. We're in for some difficult times. Hang on there for just a moment. We'll be right back. Okay, Mark, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I had one other question, and that's basically, I believe it was Bob Chapman, I may be mistaken there, who was on last week, I think it was, and as a guest of yours. And Bob had mentioned, I believe, that the Chinese government has quite a bit of silver in their possession. And I think if it wasn't Bob, whoever had mentioned it in the recent past, it actually at least implied that silver could be used or would be used, if necessary, in order to repress the silver market here in the United States and perhaps elsewhere.
Well, I really don't know. I don't think it was Bob Chapman because I would remember it. But I will tell you right now, there appears to be shortages of silver as far as the world is concerned. You cannot go to a silver dealer right now and buy either large bars or small bars. And, of course, many of the silver rounds and the other things that people have been buying in the way of silver are hard to get. Apparently, you can still get, some 90% bags of silver. Certainly, you can get 40% bags of silver coinage. But there seems to be a shortage of silver. Now, if somebody has a lot of silver, certainly they could use it to hold down the price. I'm just not sure that anybody has that much because silver is used so much in industry. Mm-hmm. And certainly, as far as I can tell, and Ted Butler, who's a lot smarter at this than I am, Theodore Butler, has been writing on this for a long time, and he says the world is running out of silver. And when it does, the price is going to go through the roof. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Interesting times we live in, Dr. Stan. Glad to have you there to kind of lead us through it.
Well, I'm certainly not a great leader, but I got a lot of smart people I can rely upon, and we're very, very fortunate. And I think we have to understand that behind everything that's going on are powerful spiritual forces, and I really fear that God is going to bring his judgment on this country. For as Jefferson had written so well, God, who gave us life, gave us liberty, but can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? And then he said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just. And his justice can't sleep forever.
We forget God and we lose our liberty. It won't be too long after we leave God out of it that the liberty will leave also.
Amen.
I think we're seeing that.
I think you're absolutely right. God bless and thanks so much for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
And let's go to Jack calling from Michigan. Jack, yeah, I've got a quick question. We're almost out of time.
Oh, yes, Dr. Stan. I was wondering if you knew whether it's the case that every dime collected by the, what I call the Infernal Robbery Squad, every tax season does not go to funding the government. It goes to paying the principal and interest on the manufacturer.
Hold that. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jack is saying, is it true that all the money that is collected in the way of taxes is simply used to pay off the interest on the national debt? No, I don't think that's true. Interest on the national debt, something like about $400 billion. So they've got a lot of other money. There's a lot of misinformation out there, Jack. I just don't think that's true. But thanks so much for calling. We're out of time. Bye-bye. And, of course, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. If you're out there listening to us across America, you agree with me that we're fighting a spiritual battle on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, but that there really are powerful spiritual and supernatural forces out there that are directing the course of world affairs. We hope that many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and it's simple as picking up your telephone and calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And you can get our four best tapes of the month. You can get our newsletter, and you can get that by email, or you can get it by regular mail. But and more of our listeners, incidentally, are going to opt out for email. And, of course, we hope that when they get the letter, why, they'll simply be readily send it to their friends by the miracle of email and the Internet. We have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to reach an awful lot more people. If the, I think somewhere between 50 and 100 people so far, I said they wanted to get their Radio Liberty letter by email, at least it's moving in that direction, and of course then they can send it to others very, very readily. A lot easier than making copies, with a fax machine and handing them out. Just send it by email, and hopefully more and more people will become acquainted with our ministry and begin to understand what's really going on. There really are secret societies out there that are intent upon the destruction of our nation. And, of course, they're being led by some of the most powerful people here in the United States. The enemy is not over in a cave in Pakistan. The enemy is not in Moscow nor in Beijing. The enemy is right here in the United States, that's financing Beijing, that's financing Moscow, that's financed the man who's sitting in the cave in Pakistan. Of course, actually, I think Bin Laden's been dead for a long time. Bhutto, who was assassinated over in Mrs. Bhutto, assassinated in Pakistan. I believe it was the Gordon of the Frost show, anyway. And you can Google this in. You actually see the footage where she is actually being interviewed, and she says why some of Bin Laden's been dead for a long time. And of course, just a relatively few weeks after that, she herself was killed. We can't let the American people know that the Osama bin Laden is dead, because then who would we have to hate? We have to have Osama bin Laden. You have to have someone to hate to make the people quake in fear. And so that's why we need the all-powerful government to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's probably been dead for a number of years. But that's neither here nor there. We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen, because we've lost our way spiritually. We've forgotten the Constitution. We've forgotten that our founding fathers gave us a country with a limited government so the people could be free, because they recognized that liberty and limited government were synonymous. Well, let me suggest, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to watch my recent talk on the planned police state and get the syllabus that goes with that. You need to watch my talk on the forbidden secret and get the syllabus that goes with that. You need, of course, to watch my talk on the hidden agenda, talking about water fluoridation and the plan for population control, and, of course, the syllabus that goes with that. Our talk, certainly, going into the background of planned population reduction, none dare call it genocide. Population control. They're all talks you need to hear, and of course you need to understand what's going on. You need to get our four tapes set on population control, because it's a very important adjunct. Will help you to understand what's really going on. And then, of course, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Please go there, watch our DVDs, listen to our radio programs, read our letters, and then please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors of the station that you're listening to. They're my views. And, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Melody Cederstrom, who sells gold and silver. She supports Radio Liberty, and we support her because we think she does a great job. And, of course, we've had an awful lot of our listeners have consulted the Melody for suggestions and for advice, and certainly we've never had anybody who came back and was unhappy in the least bit. So we're very pleased to have her with us here at Radio Liberty, and it's getting a little late back there. How are you doing tonight, Melody?
I'm just fine, thank you. And yourself?
Did you have a little coffee to keep you awake?
I have it right here, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. Well, it's good to have Melody with us. And, you know, these are really exciting times. In fact, it was very interesting that this past week, one of the major financial houses was pointing out that if the United States government has to come in and rescue Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. These are two large lending institutions which, although supposedly private, are really sort of an extension of our government. And they're issuing literally trillions of dollars worth of mortgages. And of course, they're more issuing mortgages now that they really shouldn't be because, of course, a lot of these mortgages are going to be as useless as the subprime mortgages. But this large lending institution made the comment that, you know, if the United States has to go in and rescue Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae or whatever it is, that it might actually lower the credit rating of the United States government. Now, right now, of course, everybody assumes that our bonds are the safest bonds in the world. They call them AAA bonds. But if we have to, of course, continue pouring money out that we don't have, continue borrowing money, continue borrowing $2.5 billion a day, and perhaps even more than that in the not-too-distant future, that the credit rating on our Treasury bonds will fall from AAA to AA to perhaps even single A. And that will mean, of course, we'll have to spend countless $1 billion more every year because, of course, it'll be more expensive to borrow on United States bonds that are certainly questionable whether they'll ever be redeemed. Did you see that article in the paper at all?
I've heard people speak of it. I haven't had a chance to actually read the article.
It actually was in the Wall Street Journal. I was surprised to see it there, but we're in real trouble financially, aren't we, Melody?
Yes, we are. And you even have Goldman Sachs and Wells Fargo coming out warning against the markets and warning against the first quarter reports that came out. The early signs have been awful, so they are also coming out warning of the things that are going to be happening in the financials. They expect, they're talking about the, and this is Goldman Sachs and Wells Fargo. They're coming out indicating that the S&P index will reach 1160, which is a fall of about almost 30% from its market peak just back in September. And so those numbers are conservative due to who's reporting them. So you can certainly see lower figures because, of course, we know they don't always tell the truth.
And I think that's absolutely true. I mean, basically what they're saying is because of the earnings reports on many of our major corporations, the value of those stocks is going to go down. Remember, the Dow Jones is manipulated by the Plunge Protection Team, the Working Group on Financial Markets, but the Standard & Poor's is really a much better index of what's happening to the overall stock market. And when Goldman Sachs and some of the other major financial institutions says that the stocks are going to fall this year, I think people ought to really pay some attention, don't you?
Yes.
All right, we're going to be back in just a minute with Melody Cederstrom. Of course, we'll welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And remember, Melody's with Discount Gold and Silver Trading.net. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Melody Cederstrom. Melody, are you having any difficulty getting any of the silver products at the present time? Certainly the silver dollars, the American Eagles. What about certainly bags of 90% silver? What about silver rounds? What about silver bars, 100-ounce, 1,000-ounce? What's the status of silver right now? Is there really a shortage, or is this something that's being put out to confuse us?
I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think it's so much a shortage of silver, but as a shortage of silver eagles. Even back in December, when the U.S. Treasury switched over from 07s to 08s, they didn't have enough planchets to keep up with the demand, because the demand is strong. So that put them behind, and then they had to, again, stop issuing silver eagles so they could get caught up with the silver eagles, and they're to release them again next week. So we are locking in prices for silver eagles. I talked to my buyer last week. It was a Friday. I asked him what was available, and he says he's sitting there holding 20,000 ounces of silver. He says there's 1,000-ounce bars. He says, but it's items that people don't want. It's the 7-ounce bars or the 2-ounce rounds, things like that, that he's holding that people don't want, because naturally it's human nature that people usually want what they can't have, and right now that is silver eagles. 90% bags, I guess if someone came in and wanted to buy 100 of them, it might be a little bit difficult to fill the order, but for people who buy half bags and full bags and 2 bags, there's been no problem in that area. Silver rounds, there doesn't seem to be a problem. It's almost, I believe, it could be a self-fulfilling prophecy, because, of course, we know things can change overnight. You have a strong physical buying that something major happened and the status quo changed. Of course, we could run into shortages very quickly. You see that in silver. You can see that in gold. You can see that in any precious metal. But I don't know why. I don't know if they're just trying to run the market. I hear reports that, these so-called big dealers are out of product and so forth, but I can't imagine that they are, unless they solely get their product from people who sell, just like the local, community store, coin store, in your neighborhood. They get their product from people who sell, from the person who inherits his gold and silver from his grandparents or parents, and he walks in off the street and sells his gold and silver.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Melody Cederstrom. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Melody doesn't think that there really is that much a shortage of silver. There may be some shortage. Certainly they're having difficulty, they've had in the past, of getting the 2008 Silver Eagles put out by the U.S. Mint. How much of a premium is there on those over the price of silver?
It's always the same. For a roll of Silver Eagles, it's $2 over spot. If you buy large quantities, you can get a little bit of a discount and so forth. Some of the older dated Silver Eagles, you can get a little bit lower price. But naturally, as we have the 2008 Silver Eagles off the market, that takes the older dated coins off the market also.
All right, fine. So basically, of course, are people pretty buying things from you now? Is the market pretty good? Are people concerned about what's happening financially? Certainly, the price of silver and gold has been down, although they were up rather strongly today. Gold up $20 an ounce, silver up $46 an ounce. But are people sitting on the sidelines, or is business pretty good?
When we had the drop, the initial drop from 1,000 down to when it broke 900 briefly, people did take advantage of the pullback. I continue to hear comments that people are still waiting for that pullback again. I don't think they're going to get it, and I think they're waiting in vain. You read a lot of these newsletter writers who follow the charts and they're all calling for a pullback, but I don't think we're going to see it. And so if people are waiting for that pullback, now's not the time to do it. Things are, again, heating up. There's always been a pullback in the precious metals going into the summer, the summer doldrums. And usually come April, May, June, and July, you can see a little bit of a pullback. The precious metals become soft and due to the holiday and the summer and so forth. I don't think you're going to see that this year. And if you do see it, I don't think it's going to be as strong as other years. We saw it briefly last year until August, and it took off again. So and things are a lot different this year than last year. So I don't think you're going to see the same cycle for the summer doldrums in the precious metals. So if you're waiting to get in, because one, gold at $1,000 is, to me, is very expensive. And lots of times it limits your ability to buy certain product because of the prices. So by waiting and just waiting to see if the prices are going to go up and down, to me, if you're going to preserve your wealth, you buy it and you go long term.
Well, you know, Chris, there's a lot of things that are happening in the world that makes you feel just a little uneasy. I've certainly been listening to what a lot of my friends say, whether it be Bob Chapman or Cleon, pardon me, Joel Skousen, mm-hmm. One of my friends who's worked with the CIA for many years, and I think probably still does work for them, certainly everything would suggest that we are going to go to war with Iran. Paul Craig Roberts, formerly Undersecretary of the Treasury, has been writing about this for a long time. Certainly, if we went to war with Iran, I would think, of course, that the price of oil would simply go right through the roof, and with that, the price of gold and silver as well. Do you hear any rumors about this? And I'm not suggesting that's going to happen, but I think that people have to be aware there certainly is a possibility. We've moved another carrier group into the Persian Gulf. I think that they wanted to go to war with Iran 6 months ago, and for one reason or another, they weren't able to do it. But, of course, everything suggests, and recently an editorial in the Wall Street Journal, really, Chris, chiding George Bush for not going to war with Iran, in essence, is what they were saying is, are you going to leave this terrible legacy behind, you know, when you've got the Iranians killing American boys in Iraq, which, incidentally, I don't believe is true at all. You know, but certainly when Iran is certainly going to be building a nuclear bomb, and I would say that probably we have supplied them with the material and with the know-how for building that, I think we're looking for an excuse to go to war there. Have you heard any rumors about this one way or the other?
Well, there's certainly a lot of speculation about going to war with Iran. You see the, you know, articles pop up, and I agree, too. I think they wanted to go to war with Iran a long time ago. Personally, I think it's my opinion that, you know, this derivative market and the financial meltdown worldwide has a lot to do with perhaps why they haven't. And you have all these major countries holding major amounts of U.S. dollars, and so I think a lot of pressure has been applied, and we certainly will never know exactly what kept them from going. But I think when you see oil trading at $115, I think, and I realize that the energy prices and what it costs to transport things, and I think that has something to do with it. I think that's a lot of war premium, a little bit of war premium built into the price of oil, and perhaps that's why we're seeing oil at $115. So it's, and you're right, that this administration, if they're going to make any decision about Iran, they're going to have to do it fairly quickly.
And, of course, the other thing is, of course, what a wonderful diversion. We'll be at war with Iran.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll maybe we'll precipitate revolutions in Saudi Arabia and many of the Arab countries, and possibly in Turkey, possibly certainly in Egypt or Libya. What a wonderful diversion, so we're not watching what's going on at home. And they always love to create diversions, get the people looking at what's going on outside the country, and then if there are financial complications here, we can always blame it on Osama bin Laden, who's probably been dead for many years now, but we can always blame him, not our leaders and our congressmen, who are really responsible for the terrible problems we have here. So anyway, of course, are people then still actively buying gold and silver? Is things back to about normal, or are they a little better than normal?
I think with tax time, it was pretty much normal. Up into March, we had a record month in March, and you know, in all the years that we've been in business. So, and then it's like come April, I think taxes was sort of a distracted people from what they needed to do, and a lot of funds went into, you know, people, you know, taxes are rising, and they've had a lot of tax payments to be made. So, and it's like after, you know, today, it's like it was just all reversed again after the 15th. So, so it's business as usual. There's a lot of interest. There's a lot of interest in silver because of what you hear the shortages. And so we have platinum and palladium are beginning to turn around again, and they're starting to move up again. So it's, you know, people need to be thankful that they had an opportunity to buy gold and silver at these lower rates, and they should take advantage of it. Every time they manipulate the price of gold back, you know, and I do get calls while people complain about they'll always control gold and silver. You shouldn't complain. You should be thankful and so that you can buy it at a lower price.
Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question for Melody, because she's certainly on the front lines of what's going on as far as gold and silver, that's her business. And certainly, you know, as we see the value of the dollar dropping, why, of course, you would anticipate gold and silver would be going up. It hasn't gone up very much this last month, but then suddenly just today, why, of course, a dramatic rise, I think, in both gold and silver. And I wonder if it foreshadows some big event that lies ahead. We won't know until it happens, but I just have this feeling that something big is in the offering. Do you have that feeling at all, or do you think this is just simply a momentary change in direction?
No, I don't. It's, you know, it's like you can, you know, just feel it. And it's there's been times through the past couple of years where, you know, the feeling has been there, and it seems like they've been able to divert the situations. But each day that goes by, or year we go, we get closer and closer. And I can't imagine with everything that's going on worldwide that something will not break loose, and it'll all come tumbling down. And I've always said, folks, you're not going to have time. You're going to wake up tomorrow, and the world's going to be a different place.
Well,
it won't happen that quickly.
It certainly could be. In fact, very disquieting story about something that happened towards the end of March there in a place called Greensburg in Kansas, where there was a tornado. And, of course, it wiped out many people's homes, but many people's homes were intact. And of course, they wanted to stay in them. They had food. They had water. But the troops came in. FEMA came in. They had troops and police forces, and they forced everybody to leave their homes for a matter of a week or so. And when the people whose homes were intact went back in, why, they'd searched their homes, they'd removed food, they'd removed money, they'd removed jewelry, and they'd, of course, taken all their guns away. They specifically searched the homes and took the guns and dismantled the guns. And, of course, there's been hardly a mention of this at all by the major media. You would think there'd be a great outcry. Where did people from the government get off forcing you out of your home at gunpoint? And then, of course, you know, going in and seizing your guns. And then when the guns were returned, they were dismantled so that they could not be used, damaged beyond repair in many instances. The new weapons are simply replaced with old, decrepit weapons that don't work. Why would they do something like that? And why would they suppress that information? You can go up on the Internet and look it up. It's Greensburg, Greens, B-U-R-G-S-G-H, Kansas. And it happened simply a few weeks ago, and not a word in the major press. I wonder why Rush Limbaugh hasn't told us about that. So do they have plans of that sort? Are we really moving towards a police state? Certainly, do our leaders have a different worldview? Are they dedicated to the preservation of America and our way of life? Or are they dedicated to a new world order, a new world religion, and a new world leader? Are they going to destroy our economic system because everything they're doing today financially is wrong? They should not be lowering the interest rates. They should not be increasing the amount of money that's out there. It only feeds the fires of inflation, and, of course, inflation is the worst thing that can happen to a society because it destroys the value of people's life savings. It destroys the value of their bank deposits, of their certificates of deposit, of their bonds. certainly of their annuities, and of course, eventually, of course, it leads to the total disruption of the nation as it has in Zimbabwe, and it's going on over there today in a country where America has been financing Mugabe. Well, Melody, of course, certainly, I believe we're certainly entering into difficult times. They finally begin to admit that we're in a recession. Do you think that we're going to be followed by a severe depression? What are your thoughts on that?
I think so. We have no jobs in this country. We cannot come out of a recession when people can't be employed. And if they are employed, they're getting wages in which they can't live, in which they can't support the higher rates of inflation and the prices of things. And so, we don't see any change in our monetary policy. The money supply is going to continue to grow as they continue to bail out the financial markets until they have it to where they're ready to let it drop. Folks, they're not going to let you walk away with your money. They're stripping you of your wealth every day as we see inflation rise and continue to rise. So you do need to preserve your wealth, and gold is a way in which you can do it. It carries the least amount of risk than anything out there. But there's no jobs in this country. We're going to continue to see. I was just reading an article where China, their 10% growth, their annual wages per person, it was something like 2,700, where ours is 46,000. The jobs, they cannot stay here until, eventually we saw Russia buy up a Bethlehem steel plant, and then they'll put maybe American workers back to work, but at the same very low wages. So we can't get out, people can't get out of their holes, and there won't be any funds and no jobs. So yes, I do see it going down that road.
Well, I think it's very interesting. Of course, the financial institutions are having real problems, and they're having massive layoffs. The banking institutions are having problems. The housing industry, certainly the home building industry, is just simply, just collapsing. And, of course, many of the new developments which are being completed, and nobody's there to buy the property. Nobody's there to buy the condominiums over in Las Vegas or in Palm Beach, Florida, or elsewhere, where in the past the markets have been so good and they've completed the deals. And now, of course, they have to pay interest. Every month they have to pay interest because it's all done with borrowed money. Everything that goes on in America is done almost with borrowed money. And pretty soon you don't have enough money to pay the interest, and the bank forecloses, and you lose everything that you put into that. And this is what this has happened time and time and time again. It's greed that motivates people on one hand, and fear that motivates them on the other. And the greed has gotten people into these massive projects, whatever they would be, commercial projects or condominium projects or housing projects or building projects or... but, of course, it's fear now that, of course, they can't unload them and they can't make their payments. That, of course, is causing many of these people desperation, selling it whatever they can. I mean, many homes that are listed for $650,000 here in California are being auctioned off at least a bid of $275,000 or $280,000. A friend of mine was telling me he just had built a number of townhouses up at Tahoe, Lake Tahoe. And, of course, he just had to get out of them before it destroyed him financially. And, as he said, I took a terrible bath on these townhouses. And this is the sort of thing that's happening all across America. Are you hearing about this, Melody?
Yes, I am. In fact, I have a family member who had property down at Ocean City, Maryland, and they built condos.
Now, hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back with Melody Cedarstrom. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I was simply asking Melody if she'd run into these people who've gone out on the limb. They borrowed a lot of money because they were going to make a fortune. They were going to put in some sort of a project. And what happened? What was this family member? What did they do?
Well, they had family land that they had inherited. And right before the market turned, they built these... it was prime property right on the beach down in Ocean City, Maryland, and they built these condos, and they didn't get stuck with it, but they had to sell large group of the condos at a very low rate, and they were just thankful that they didn't get stuck with it. So it certainly didn't pay what they had expected it to pay, but and they're not quite sure, you know, if they'll, you know, they had hoped to, the investors had hoped to retain a certain number of them, one for each of them, and they're not quite so sure they can do that. So they have tried some major advertising, and they even tried to recruit foreign buyers because their dollars were, their currencies were stronger than our dollar. And they ended up with a developer coming in and buying a lot of them in order to sell them at very discounted rates. So, and we often talked about here in State College, where it's a college town, where you didn't see much of the same decreases in values or the same number of homes on the markets. And I'll have to say, in the past month or so, that has changed. I've just recently seen more and more homes come on the market. Like, you know, once the weather began to turn nice, as people usually wait until after winter to put their homes on the market, and there was quite a few that came on the market. They don't even list the homes in the papers anymore. All they do is list the open houses, which I've never seen before.
Well, I think, of course, that there are more and more foreclosures all across America. In fact, it said that in Nevada, about one in every 130 homes is facing foreclosure. Here in California, about one in every 204 homes is facing foreclosure. And, of course, these are the two highest states in the union, but homes are being foreclosed on all across America. And of course, people who are facing foreclosure, if they can possibly sell them, will, to try to get their equity out. But of course, in a lot of the homes, because of the falling values, why, they owe more than, of course, the house is worth. And that's a terrible situation to be in. But this is the reality of what's going on. And houses all across America are losing value, and in some places they're losing a lot more than others, depending upon how much the house is appreciated. And whatever goes up, well, the old adage, whatever goes up is going to come down again, and it sure is true in the housing market. And more people are simply being forced out of their homes, and where are they going to go? Well, somebody called me about a tent city in Southern California that had sprung up, where a lot of the people who had their homes foreclosed on them were living in a tent city. I hadn't heard of it, but I looked it up on the Internet, and yes, it was. It was Ontario, California. And here's this massive tent city where people who were just a few weeks or months before had been living in a comfortable home are now living in tents, and, of course, with very primitive sanitary and cooking conditions. But this is, I think, is going to become increasingly a situation. We saw this during the Great Depression, and I think the Great Depression is coming on us, and it is being intentionally and purposely produced. I do not believe this is happening by accident. The Federal Reserve System has done everything wrong for the last 20 years, guaranteeing we'd be where we are today. And instead of course, letting the market contract back in the late 1980s, as they should have, oh, of course, they let this get completely out of bounds, and now there is no way out. If they raise the interest rates, they destroy the economy. If they lower the interest rates, they destroy the dollar. Which way do you want to go? Do you want to be shot or be hung? What are your thoughts, Melody?
Well, it's awful to hear about the tent cities, but, you know, also something that comes out of there, because of the number of people anymore and the unsanitary conditions, you do see diseases that will be popping up. And so that's another problem that people face. And, you know, it's something, too, you're going to have people are losing their homes, granted also for the major problem of what has happened in the adjustable rates and people getting in over their heads, but also because of high fuel costs. You know, so many people live outside and live an hour away from their work. I've had people in my neighborhood tell me they're moving because they need to move closer to the town. Because they can't afford the gasoline and the travel that they do back and forth. And it puts a damper. And so everything is just spiraling and coming together.
And, of course, the oil companies, they say, we're not responsible for it. We're not driving the prices up. Ladies and gentlemen, Exxon made more money in the last quarter of the last year than any other corporation in all the world throughout all time. And they say, we're not responsible for it. ladies and gentlemen. They're making massive profits, and they've created this whole situation because they intertwined with what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and of course, I think we're going to see more and more people losing their homes, more and more people losing their jobs, more and more people, you know, as students not able to get student loans, not able to refinance their student loans, and then what do you do? More and more people will be losing their sophisticated automobiles, their expensive automobiles and SUVs and pickup trucks. You know, more and more people losing their second homes that they have, and maybe even losing their primary homes as well. And this is what always happens as we begin moving from a recession into a depression. And believe me, this depression is going to impact upon the lives of everybody out there in the listening audience. Listen to this program. Would you agree or disagree with that, Melody?
It's going to affect everyone. And, you know, we can only do what we can do to prepare in different ways. You know, gold and silver is not the only way in which to prepare. There's other ways in which to prepare. But I do believe each and every one will be affected. Our lives will be changed. And it's to me, it's the degree of which we're prepared will determine on how it does affect each and every one of us. But we'll see our family members hurt. We'll see our friends, we'll see our neighbors, we'll see everyone's lives changed. It will impact each and every one of us. And I also do believe that, you know, those who do programs like yourself, Dr. Stan, and so many people who try to bring the truth, we are here for a reason and we are here for a purpose. There is a reason why I'm here, there's a reason why Dr. Stan's here, and there's reasons why each and every one listener is tuning into the programs, to get the truth. So it's...
Well, now, because you have your own radio program. What time of day is that?
The live program is at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, and it's on shortwave, and the frequency is 7.415. We then replay it at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on frequency 3.215. And also the 7.415.
Now, is that WHRI? Is it WWCR?
The 3.215 is WWCR, and then the 7415 is WBCQ.
Okay, fine. Well, I think it's important that we have as many people as possible out there getting the truth out. And I know Melody very often has Bob Chapman. How often is Bob Chapman on with you?
We do programs 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Tuesday, we have Alfred Adask on. And on Thursday, we have Wendy Wilson. She's an herbalist.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were just talking about Melody. Melody is also a radio personality. She has her own program. It's heard live, certainly at 4 p.m. Eastern time every day, and it's heard on shortwave, and then rebroadcast again in the evening on another network. So she's having a tremendous outreach. She has Bob Chapman as her guest 3 times a week, and then other guests certainly the other 2 days. Well, before we go on, Melody, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they'd like more information on gold and silver. How can they reach you? How can they get in touch with your website?
The easiest is to call us at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Our website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And of course, if you want to email us, you can do so at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com.
All right, fine. And of course, you're advocating that people primarily get into gold rather than silver, or that they have both?
Well, I believe that it's important to have both, and I do things a little bit differently. I look at the suitability of each person, but a rule of thumb should be carried is 80% gold and 20% silver. You know, and people will say to me, why only 20% silver? That's going to do better than gold. Percentage-wise, yes. But, folks, you want to preserve your wealth, and gold will do that. Gold provides more stability than what silver does. You'll have extreme volatility in silver. And many times, you know, people will miss the time to sell, and the next thing you know, it drops. There's still a lot of people out there holding $50 silver because they missed the day to sell. So you have the volatility in silver. I view gold as a monetary metal. That is what true wealth is measured against, and it is the monetary metal. And, yes, we do see silver can be viewed as monetary, but it is also an industrial metal. So you have the industrial complex that also weighs on the price of silver, so which can make it perform to the higher percentages that we might see due to China, because China will continue its growth. So, but again, there's the volatility. So the fundamentals for gold are stability, and that's it's a monetary. We're having a financial crisis.
You amp into that. Well, let's go to Peter, who's calling in from Salinas, California. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Peter. How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Dr. Stan and Melody.
Hello.
I'm here to report on OPEC, and I don't know if either of you happen to see the American Petroleum Institute lobbyist speaking before Congress. But Dr. Stan, I'm the last person in the world that wants to correct you, but the oil industry people said that when you're reporting record profits, and here's where it becomes real prophetic, that's taking inflation out. When you say they make the most record profits, they said, no, cut. You're not really looking at it as in worthless dollars.
I see. Well, of course, wouldn't you expect that they would do everything they could to play down the fact that they're making fantastic profits?
I would, but OPEC as well said their own statement are crude. This is a quote from Shaqib Khalil. This is the OPEC director. Quote, crude oil prices are being strongly influenced by the weakness in the U.S. dollar, rising inflation, again, what the American Petroleum Institution people said. And here it is for you, Melody, the significant flow of funds into the commodity market. And again, the oil people are laying this off on the Fed, saying that our prices aren't high. The API guy said it's not $100 a barrel, $114 today, I'm sorry, but it's actually only 50 or 60 because, sadly to tell you, the American public, your money's worthless.
And I think you're absolutely right from that point of view, Peter. One reason the price of the oil is going up so high is because the value of the dollar is falling so low.
Yeah,
and of course, you're
right.
Absolutely right. Of course, the oil would be down around $50 a barrel if it weren't for the destruction of the value of our dollar. But what you must understand is that if it were not for the oil companies destroying the opposition, why, of course, we would have oil down to $25 a barrel. In fact, we have a four-tape set titled Oil, four-tape or four-CD set. And there we interview a gentleman who is employed by oil drillers, people who want to get into the oil business. They want a floor under the value of oil at $25 a barrel. And they said
that's reasonable.
And they said if government would guarantee that it would not go below $25 a barrel, they would invest their money and they would start drilling and we'd have more oil than we know what to do with. But they're not going to do it because they've done that in the past. And then, of course, the oil companies have come in, dropped the price to $10 a barrel to drive out the competition. And everything that is being done, the environmental movement funded by the oil companies, is to destroy opposite competition, and the other people are afraid to come in. Incidentally, they tried to get the legislation through with a floor of $25 a barrel, which would have driven prices down, and guess what happened? Why, the oil companies wouldn't even allow that to be heard in committee. Anything else you want to say before
we
let you go?
Dr. Stan, I would also like to report that the Energy Department reported that there are no shortages. For all these people that think we need to drill more or step up our refineries, they're telling the American public, welcome to the Thomas Friedman flat world. You have to bid your oil along with everyone else. There's no shortage. You just got to reach deeper in your pocket, Dr. Stan. And, you know, again, I'm a big believer in putting my money into the commodities, Melody, into the gold and silver. I have no faith in the American dollar. And, you know, Dr. Stan, you're right. I have no faith in certainly not the people from OPEC, but as well, Dr. Stan, they're businessmen. They know exactly what the value of the dollar is, regardless of what the Americans think. They know the value of gold, and they know that demand is a global issue, and that this whole Americanism that somehow we're entitled to the oil or to the wealth is just a rug that's going to be yanked out from under these people when they realize these globalists will go into bed with whoever will fold the sheets.
And that's absolutely right. They have no loyalty to America. In fact, they are part and parcel of what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, the cabal, intent upon the destruction of the stability of our nation and the wealth of our nation, and, of course, building up wealth throughout the rest of the nation, redistribution of our wealth, but not theirs. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Peter.
Thank you, Stan. Thank you, Melody.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Charles, who's calling from Harlem. Hi, Charles. How are you doing?
How are you, Dr. Stan? How are you, Melody?
Hello, thank you.
All right, I wanted to ask, first, your last caller, Peter, if he could just check out the Non-Energy Crisis by Lindsay Williams. He'll have some clearer insight about the oil, and I think you can speak on that a little bit more, Dr. Stan. And to you, Melody, and I'll take this off the air, could you please tell me how I could explain to folks how they can take their 401ks or pensions and I know you have some kind of explain to me a bit about a gold. I'm not familiar with it, but I think you said something about some kind of gold back.
I think they're talking about a gold IRA, but let's get Melody to go ahead and give us the insight on that. Okay, anything else, Charles, before we let you go?
Have to do it. Thanks again, Pastor.
God bless. And
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Melody, what about Charles's question? He wants to know, what happens if people have their money in a 401k? Is there any way they can get that, you know, into gold and silver?
They can roll it over to a self-directed IRA. Now some 401s are different, and they might restrict it in some way, so check with your plan. But most of them will allow you to roll it to a self-directed IRA. And in there, you can hold gold and silver, platinum, and palladium. Now, you're not allowed possession of the coins. They are stored. In fact, they're stored in New York at the HSBC Bank of New York. But to me, you have to weigh the risk. And I believe having your gold stored there is less of a risk than holding most of the paper that your 401s carry. So you can do that. There's mainly two firms that handle them. Gold Star and Sterling Trust. I prefer Gold Star. They used to be American Church Trust, and they were bought out by Gold Star a little over a year ago. But I prefer them, and I've dealt with them strictly. So if anybody has any questions, you can give us a call. But the only thing that you can hold in your self-directed IRA precious metal is bullion, gold. A lot of dealers out there will put proof coins. They'll push people into proof coins, telling them they're numismatic coins, collectible coins, and you don't have to worry about confiscation and so forth. Well, I've never sold a proof coin for a self-directed IRA. You pay big premiums on them, and when you go to sell it, you lose a lot of that premium. You're just better off buying gold eagles or silver eagles. You can put fractional pieces, and you can... Eventually, when you turn that certain age, you can take possession of the coins at that time.
Now, why don't you get your telephone number out again? If you tell people to call you, they've probably forgotten the telephone number. Give it again.
It's 1-800-375-4188. It's 800-375-4188.
Okay, is there anything else you wanted to say on that subject?
First and foremost, you should always try to take possession of your coins. But the golden self-directed IRA is a great way to put your funds that you don't have access to.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Bruce. He's calling from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
Very good, Dr. Stan. I'd like to ask Melody how she would recommend that I convince an 86-year-old mother to get her money out of the hands of the stockbrokers and convert at least a good portion of it into something else for an investment. My dad left her fairly well off, but she's been raked over the coals by the investment counselors at the stockbrokers, and is unknowingly and unwittingly losing money on a daily basis?
All right, that's a good question. Melody, what would you tell him, Bruce, to tell his mother? How could you convince her that really what's going on and that she stays in the stock market, she's probably going to make a small fortune out of a large fortune?
You know what? It's tough. I mean, people are firm. I mean, they've been, even the older generations who, you know, have tastes of the Depression.
That's a Depression woman.
Pardon?
Yeah.
She's old enough to remember the Depression.
Oh, absolutely.
And they also remember how the government bailed and came to their rescue. So they've been conditioned for many years, you know, that the government will take care of everything. And they believe the spin on television. The only thing I can say, and we, I mean, we're almost at a point where it could be too late, is read. If she reads, provide her material. Explain inflation, and that's difficult to explain inflation if they don't.
Well, I understand inflation.
Well, how do you make
economics
her,
major?
But how do you make her understand?
Yeah,
is the thing.
Well, you can't.
Well, I think that I'll tell her a little story. A friend of mine, a physician, he of course was German, and his grandmother had lived during the period of the inflation in the Weimar Republic, and she was a very wealthy woman. She had a million German marks, which was, of course, a fabulous fortune. She kept it. She didn't trust the banks. She kept it in her mattress. And, of course, when the inflation came, suddenly a million German marks wouldn't buy you a soft drink. Inflation wiped out the value of money, and certainly the stock market is going to go down. Anything that's tied to stocks, anything that's tied to money is going to lose value. And at least try to convince her to take half of her money and put it into gold and silver, and simply point out that certainly gold within the last 5 years has gone from about $350 an ounce to $1,000 an ounce. Silver has gone from $5 an ounce to $20 an ounce. And we're just on the edge of course, a massive increase in this. And, you know, if she wants to preserve her wealth, she should diversify. She should not keep it all in the stocks. And the three rules for investment,
diversify.
Oh, you know the line. Go ahead.
Yes, I do. Now, yes, how would they divest from the stockbroker?
You just simply tell him you want to sell the stocks, you want the money. That's what you do.
Yep.
All right.
And remember, the stockbroker wants to keep you in stock because he makes money that way.
I understand that, and I've told that to her many times over and over again.
And the stock market is going to ingratiate himself, and he's going to tell her really what a wonderful person she is and how much he really wants to save for her. But is he making a lot of money for her?
No.
All right, fine. Well, then, of course, you better do something different. Anyway, God bless. You know, you're just going to have to.
It's a difficult task.
But try to get her to understand the three rules of investment.
Yes.
God bless.
All right. Good evening.
Thank you,
Bruce.
That was Chris Bruce calling from Spokane. Again, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But let me just once again, you know, remind you of the three rules of investment: diversify, diversify, diversify. Do not put all your money into one thing. Right now, I think increasingly you would want to be in gold, but of course, put that gold in various places where it will be secure, or your gold and your silver. Certainly you want to have a certain amount of money on hand, but there's never been a time that I can remember where the value of the dollar simply is crumbling. It has actually gone down from about 130 in relationship to a basket of currencies to about 71, 71 and a half, and at least according to our friend Bob Chapman, he thinks it's headed to 40. In other words, it's going to lose at least two-thirds of its value and perhaps more. So people are going to have to make their preparations now, because if you wait, why, it's going to be too late. What are the thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners, Melody?
If you're trying to show someone that they need to buy gold, lots of times we kind of focus on the negative. You know, we focus on the falling dollar. We focus on losing. And if they're in the stock market, they've been conditioned to think profits. And as you said, Dr. Stan, maybe focus on gold rising and the positives. And I guess you don't have to They don't have to understand the reasons why gold is going up. But I guess I hate to say the word greed, but I've kind of used that or the profits gain, pull some articles where it shows gold is going to 2,000 plus. I mean, heck, even Goldman Sachs comes out with articles where they'll show it, you know, going to 1,600 and above. So, you know, show those articles from mainstream, and perhaps you can switch. But it is important to tell these financial planners. I've had people tell me that they're scared to talk to them, that they just allow them to control them. And, folks, it's your money. You do what you have to do with it to preserve it.
And
because they don't care.
The thing is that the financial planner is interested in making money from mm-hmm. your money. And, of course, but they're really, most of them are not sophisticated. Most of them have never lived through the Great Depression. They don't know the history of what happened in ancient Greece, what happened in ancient Rome, what has happened, you know, in ancient Florence and ancient Venice. When they tried these fiat money schemes, they don't understand what happened with the continental dollar, what happened during the French Revolution. They don't understand what happened during the Weimar Republic, or even what's going on in... what's going on in Zimbabwe today. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty. Well, we've got 3 minutes to before we have to let you go here, and I know it's getting late back there and you must be exhausted, but we certainly would like to get your parting thoughts for our listeners.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And, of course, anyone can call. I do conference calls with husbands and wives, because many times there is one that just doesn't understand, and one is more motivated than the other and has a clearer understanding. So I do many conference calls, and so we can do that. Just give me a call at 800-375-4188. And it's just time to prepare. Make sure you have your food storage and so many other things, your water supplies for backup, and, of course, your monetary policy, your monetary situations you need to preserve by gold and silver. And I do things different. I base it on the suitability of everybody. I don't sell one type of coin to everybody. And I've heard someone come to me saying they heard an advertisement for a roll of silver dollars at a certain price. I said, what kind of silver dollars? And they said, I don't know. Well, you can't compare prices if you really don't know. And that happens so often. They'll advertise prices, but they won't give you the type of coin. So be very careful. Again, as we see things heated up in the markets, you're going to see more and more spin on things. You're going to see more and more misinformation come out on the various products. The competition is strong, and we have yet the general populace to come into the market to propel these prices to higher and higher numbers. So just be careful. And if you ever want to compare anything, if you'd like your portfolios reviewed, you can give me a call, and I'd be more than happy to do that.
And I think that people have to understand there are an awful lot of dishonest people in this market. Run into a number of them, certainly here, and we've even had to take some people and not have them on our programs anymore because I didn't think that they were handling our listeners fairly, and I hate to do that. But yeah, certainly we've never had a problem with any sort of Melody. People have always been very, you know, very happy with their relationship with her. So we feel very comfortable having Melody with us, and of course offering you advice, because I think her advice will provide you the information that you're going to need to survive in times like this. We are facing the most difficult times in the lives of everybody out there listening to this program. We're seeing the demise of the American dollar. Will it survive? I really believe, of course, they want to destroy it, replace it with the Amero, replace it with the Euro. For as Lenin said, there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch its currency, and not one person in a million will understand what you're doing. Good night. God bless, Melody.
God bless you too, Dr. Stan. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Again, Melody's telephone number, 1-800-375-4188. 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to talk to her, certainly we have a relationship with Melody, but it's always been one of integrity. I've really been very, very impressed by certainly the way she's dealt with us, and she must be dealing with our listeners very well, too, because we've never had even one complaint about her. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you'd like, of course, to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us support our network, and it's small. We have about 60 outlets on radio, internet, shortwave, or radio stations across America. But our weekend program night now is going, I think, to 28 stations. That's certainly half an hour. But people across America are learning what they will never learn elsewhere. And so if you'd like to become part of our team, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you would simply like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you get our newsletter, and then, of course, you get our four best tapes and CDs of the month. If you, of course, would like just to subscribe to the newsletter, you can get it by email or you can get it by regular mail. We're hoping more and more people will take it by email because they can print it down and then, of course, they can send it to their friends simply by punching a button, and they can send it to 20 or 30 friends and actually expand, of course, the people who are reading our newsletter and hopefully are beginning to understand the true nature of the spirits of battle in which we're engaged. Then, of course, we want to remind you, if you've not laid in a supply of food, or long-term storage food, you'd like to get a catalog, we'd be glad to send you one free of charge. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We also have a catalog of health products, and certainly whenever I start coming down with a cold or flu symptoms, I take something called Alibiotic. Alibiotic, Alibiotic. And, of course, it's got oil of oregano, and it's got elderberry juice, and it's got certainly garlic and allicin, and it's got a couple of other products that and the vitamin B, vitamin D. It was a great means of actually building up your immunity and warding off infections. And, of course, the important thing is you've got good immunity. And we've got a lot of great health products. And if you'd like to see our health catalog, we think it's great. And, of course, you can get a regular catalog. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. In fact, our staff has even put that onto a CD. And it's very well done. We hope that you'll want to get the CD rather than the printed one. You can have either one. But the CD you can put on your computer. And of course, it's got all sorts of graphics and other things on it, and you can see pictures of so much of what we're talking about. And then, of course, we hope that if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll get it or get the CD, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it will give you the overview of everything going on, how we have actually financed the best enemies money could buy so that people, in their fear, would rally behind the government and progressively give up their freedom. We hope that you'll want to get my talk on the planned police state. We hope that you'll want to get my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. The hidden agenda, going into the fluoride and how they're poisoning our children and poisoning our men and of course, decreasing their testosterone level because they don't want, of course, virile men. They want little pipsqueaks, of course, impotent men who will go along with their agenda. And, of course, they want to get on the subject of mercury poisoning, what they're doing to our children, David Ayoub's excellent DVD, which comes with a CD-ROM that's got literally thousands of pages of documentation on the fact that the government knows autism is related to mercury, but they do not want the American people to know that they're poisoning our children. The DVD is called Mercury Autism and the Global Population Control Agenda. Mercury autism and the global population agenda. We're dealing with organized evil that, of course, intends to destroy humanity. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.